Welcome to Manga Cube, episode 75, your one-stop for manga news and commentary for the week of December 2nd, 2013. I am your main host, Derek, and I am joined by my co-host, Mo.
Steam is awesome.
Also kind of evil.
Speaking of evil, in a good way.
Speaking of which, I gotta check them sales. Yeah, so the big news... Big news this week is that Steam is having their, autumn sales, and then as soon as that finishes on December 3rd, which I believe is, that's tomorrow. Yeah, as soon as that finishes, then it won't be long until the winter sales, which I'm just like, why you do this? Pardon.
But yeah,
so let's see, what have we got? We've got Age of Empires 2 HD Edition, own it. Tomb Raider for, gosh darn it, making me put in my age. There we go. Tomb Raider for $9.99, own it. Gary's Mod for $2.49, own it.
You have Gary's Mod?
Yeah. Oh. Europa Universalis for, what is this? Call of Duty Black Ops for $39.99 at 50% off. That's ridiculous.
Wait. It's a current Steam sale right now?
Yeah.
They just changed it.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at that right now, and that's ridiculous. Why is Call of Duty Black Ops 2 is $80 on Steam normally? That's ridiculous. Ooh, hey, the Stanley Parable at $8.99, 40% off. Ooh, a friend of mine told me about that. That's one that might be worth looking into. Let's see, and what else do we have? And then there's Scribblenauts Unlimited for $9.99. Own it. Shadow Warrior for $9.99. Don't care. Dust and Elysian Tale for $3.74.
Wait, Dust? Is Dust? Is it spelled D-U-S-T?
Yeah.
Oh, it's that one that's kind of like the... I think it's by the same people that made Muramasa.
Oh, dude. Brutal Legend for $1.99. That's silly.
Did Jack Black be happy? Be like, why is this game being sold for so low? Because it came out some years ago. But it
not that long. Like 10 years not that long ago, but yeah.
It didn't come out that long ago. That's what I'm confused about.
Oh, yeah, this is kind of silly. Oh, wait, what am I?
Oh, well, yeah, I see him now. All
right, one sec, yeah.
Oh, dang, I want Dust. I want, like, Dust. Brutal Legend. Yeah. The Dragon Age Origins, oh my goodness.
Yep, that one's not expensive right now, so that's...
It's about the same price as Skyrim was.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculously cheap right now.
They're doing pretty good. What they're doing is they're bringing out a good ratio of games that are like old and good. Games are really good, but they cut the price down to like a reasonable amount, like less than $10. And then games are... still ridiculously good, but they, you know, Call of Duty Black Ops. That's actually reasonable, if you ask me. 50% is still better than whatever, you know, 25% off the heck, man. 100% off. That's a joke now. Tomb Raider, 8%.
Yeah, I already bought Tomb Raider in the last sale during the summer, I believe it was. But yeah, Stanley Parable, I hear it's good, so I'm gonna put that in my cart at $8.99. It's a lot cheaper than... my friend told me about it, it was like 25% off. Mm-hmm. Now it's like 40% off. So I'm like, hey, waiting was a good idea on this one. So, got that. Also, of important news for this week on a personal level, if you, the listeners, go to iTunes and look up Manga Cubed, or Manga with a weird symbol, and then the number 3- a manga podcast, you will find our brand new podcast feed that has every episode that we've ever done finally uploaded on iTunes. It took me a while to get it all taken care of, but...
He did the work with the help of a friend of his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were some issues with the app that we were using. It wasn't really letting me do things the way that it was supposed to. So it was a bit on the weird side. But yeah, we were able to finally able to get that sorted out. I got some cover art done. It's basically the same thing that we had before, except a different picture. And we also, you know, we also have we also have our name on the actual icon, so that's nice. So if you look at that, you'll be able to see all our previous episodes and download them with no problem. And what I'm hoping right now is that the number of episodes that we've done will encourage people to think that we actually know what we're doing. So, yeah, they're like, oh, hey, they've done like 74 episodes, 75 after this one. They know what they're doing. They have experience. I'm just sitting here, like, please don't notice the truth. Please don't notice the truth. But also, you know, I mean, just, it just looks better, you know, when you're looking at a podcast and you see, oh, hey, they've done a ton of episodes. Chances are they probably know what they're doing. It's like, I'd rather choose a podcast that's done 74 episodes over one that's done 11. Stupid Naruto Ichiraku Ramen podcast hasn't updated in 6 years, and still it's like the one of the highest ranked manga podcasts.
Because people like Naruto. You know, we need to really examine why people like Naruto up to the point where it's about to end.
We should.
Get to that part.
Yeah, one of these days we will go over Naruto volume by volume. I just don't want to do that right now because we've got enough madness coming up at the beginning of this coming year as it is, so whew, yeah, just thinking about that, it's crazy. But I've got the list, or the schedule, basically, put together, and I'll see about sending that around to other podcasters, see if there are any people that are interested in, you know, joining in the discussion on those three volumes, and then we'll see how things go. But for now, I think it's time we talk about the actual news for the week. And starting with the Japanese comic rankings from November 18th through the 24th. And what do we have in first place? Terra for Mars, Volume 7. Looks like one just dropped off the list.
I have got to read that, Terra for Mars. I have to start reading that again. I mean, I kind of left off like chapter 40 of the scanlation, but now that's finally being published, it's going to start being published here in the States.
Mm. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I think that's actually good. I'll have to pick up the first volume when it comes out.
It's not as terrifying as I make it out to be. It's just terrifying when you just use your imagination and imagine what would happen if this actually happened. That's how terrifying it is for me.
I
already have to deal with seeing different kinds of, okay, I see house spiders, but now I see these other spiders. I'm like, you're not the kind of spider I see around here. I don't like your kind. I don't take kindly to your kind.
We don't like their kind in here. Yeah. Like, you guys are going to have to wait outside. Racist. All right, what's next?
Next, we have a Detective Conan, Volume 81, the second place.
Mm-hmm. 81. In third place, we have Kishibe Rohan wa Ugokanai. Okay.
Huh. Fourth is Sakamoto Desuka, Volume 2.
Fifth, we have Rio, Volume 13.
Sixth place, Oikiku Furikabute, Volume 22.
Seventh place, oh, there it is. We have One Piece, Volume 72. And you know what I just realized? We're like two, three episodes ahead of the amount of volumes that One Piece has.
Huh.
Although I guess a more fair comparison, since we do this on a weekly basis, would be the number of actual chapters, which One Piece completely outstrips us, and I don't think we'll ever even actually get to that many episodes of this podcast.
Yeah. But, you know, what we do know is that it will come to an end eventually, so we don't have to worry about all these other series that, you know, we don't know how it's going to end or anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But One Piece, we already know that it's going to end eventually, so we can say, we're done. What next?
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Chances of us ending the podcast when One Piece ends are very strong, unless we find another series that we're absolutely obsessed with and want to keep talking about, along with all the other stuff we talk about.
Yeah.
So,
most of the series I tend to read are not Weekly Shonen Jump.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what else comes up.
Eighth place.
Who knows where the simultaneous publishing will be in the next couple years. Anyway, carry on.
Eighth place, history's strongest disciple, Kenichi, volume 54. Well, manga is itself a hell of a lot better here than comic books, anyway, apparently.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it does seem like that. All right, and ninth place, Hozuki no Reitetsu, volume 11.
And 10th place, Angel Heart, second season, volume 7.
Yep, and let's see, let me just double check some other stuff here. I'm just double checking to see if Attack on Titan is still on the list, which I'm not seeing it so far. I'm seeing a couple One Punch Man volumes. Ah, nope. Looks like Attack on Titan has dropped off, but they'll probably pick up again once the second season starts up. Oh, and time for the New York Times Manga Bestseller List for November 17th through the 23rd. And in first place, Hex Yes, we have Yotsuba Volume 12.
Knew you'd be happy about that. Yeah. Second place, we have Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D, Volume 5.
In third place, we have Naruto, Volume 63.
Fourth place, Soul Eater, Volume 17.
And, we haven't escaped it. It's migrated. Fifth place, Attack on Titan, Volume 1.
Seventh place, Soulless, Volume 3.
I did fifth place, not sixth place.
Oh, sixth place, sorry. Sixth place, Attack on Titan, Volume 8.
Indeed. And then Solus, number 3. And eighth place, Monster Musume, number 1.
Ninth place, Attack on Titan again, Volume 2.
Mm-hmm. And tenth place, Alice in the Country of Hearts, The Mad Hatter's Late Night Tea Party, Volume 1.
That one Alice series that has a long title, basically.
One of the many, yes.
One of the many, about all of them are long titles.
Well, yeah, but there are a lot of them are about Alice, for some reason. All right, we've got the North American anime and manga releases for November 24th through the 30th. And what do we have here? For the anime releases, we have Excel World, Blu-ray and DVD set 1.
Next, we have Cutie Honey, DVD complete collection.
And let's see, High School of the Dead, Drifters of the Dead, Blu-ray and DVD. I guess that's a movie. I can't be a movie. It's $10.
Probably the second.
Oh, it's just an OVA.
OVA, okay.
All right, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. All right, what else do we have?
La Storia della Arcana Famiglia. Oh, it's Italian, sorry. La Storia della Arcana Famiglia for Blu-ray and DVD, complete collection.
I like how you start pronouncing it horribly, and they're like, oh, wait, it's not Japanese, it's Italian, and then you don't pronounce it much better afterwards.
No, I was trying to say it in French. I was like, wait, I thought French is Italian.
It's like La Storia della Arcana Famiglia.
Really?
I think that's how it's pronounced. And then we have, looks like Wolf Children has come out on DVD and DVD Blu-ray. Excellent.
Awesome.
And I need to watch that. I like his movies. All right. And we have the manga releases with Attack on Titan Volume 9.
We have Cosplay Girlfriend.
We have...
Published by Project H Books, so yes. We don't need to see what that is.
We have Judge, Volume 2.
We have Love and Mike.
Okay, another portal. Makunouchi Deluxe, Volume 1.
Actually, I like that one. I read that one. Mr. Mini Mart.
Hey, I can't hear you.
That's a Yahweh, sorry.
Mo.
What? Mr. Mini Mart.
Your audio suddenly went very quiet.
Really?
There you go, okay.
Okay, good.
No, put your mouth a little closer to the mic.
Sorry.
Like, you went way more quiet than normal. That's weird. Anyway, Mr. Mini Mart, you said?
Yes.
My celebrity girlfriend. Okay, what is up with this week?
Naughty boobs. I'm not kidding. That title says naughty boobs.
This is weird. Now
the neighbors are probably thinking, what the heck is this guy saying?
I have no idea what's going on. What is with all the porn being?
Oh, man.
This is ridiculous. What else do we have? Nurse's Paradise, Son of a.
I win for saying the best title. Pink.
President Momoi-kun, for the love of. Yeah. There's another one.
That's a yellow wave, okay. Sailor Moon, short stories, volume 2.
Takasugi-san's Obento.
And the Witchbuster, volume 7 to 8 omnibus. So I'm guessing it's a month.
I guess.
Maybe.
Right, man, this.
Well, okay, other releases. We have Art of Ponyo on the Cliff by the Sea, art book.
Mm-hmm.
Persona 4 Arena. Oh, man, so many Persona. Persona 4 Arena, official Design Works art book. Mm-hmm. And is it pronounced East? Or I'm going to say YS. Or
I think it's East.
East. Memories of Calcetta. PSP the game.
Huh, interesting.
I don't like that game, East. I'm sorry. I tried playing it on my PSP way before I bricked it. And, okay, it was okay, but that game is a game you kind of have to be invested into playing, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of good. It's kind of like a. It feels like a Legend of Zelda type of game without the linear, without the whole, you know, running around where you have a life bar and magic and you care about more personality, I guess. It was the very first one I played, I think. Not the very first one, but the PS1. PSP one.
I gotcha. Alright, let's see. And now, let's see, we have some more news?
Oh, we got lots of news today.
Alright, go for it.
Okay, so, just come on, open. Okay, so a manga artist Shiro Miwa posts simple but delightful Pacific Rim crossover with Kill Picture.
Okay.
Oh, you've seen Pacific Rim, so I figured I haven't seen it yet.
Right, let's see, what does this look like here? Huh. It's kind of fun.
Oh, One Piece tops 2013 manga sales in Japan. That's not new. That's like history.
You don't say.
That's history.
Yeah, definitely. That is not news to anyone.
But let's see what the others, because they pretty much listed the like top 30, top ranking manga sales. 30 series, then there's the volumes. You only see volumes are kind of ridiculous anyway, but the list is crazy.
We're looking at like number one is One Piece at over 18 million sold this year.
Attack on Titan actually got pretty close, but
yeah, almost 16 million, just a couple thousand
close,
short.
Still not close enough, but not halfway. It's close.
Yeah, it's better. It's better than previous years where the next highest series basically the next four series all added together didn't even add up to One Piece's sales.
Hmm.
In this case, at least there's a pretty strong contender in Attack on Titan. Kuroko's Basketball is in third place at like 8 million. Maji, 7 million. Naruto, 5 million. Oh, Silver Spoon at over 4 million. And Assassination Classroom at a little bit under what Silver Spoon got at 7th place. Oh, hey, Fairy Tail is 9th place. I mean, it only sold 3,790,000 and 151 copies. But it's still within the top 10 of series sales. So that's pretty respectable.
The current number one for a volume of Terraformers is, well, I mean, no, not near, but I mean, of the new Leaves originally, is in 3 million in 10th place.
Interesting. Yeah, and I mean, Fairy Tail, it beat Toriko, it beat Bleach, it beat JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, it beat Blue Exorcist.
And then it beat Hunter x Hunter, which has been on hiatus for, like, ridiculous amounts of times.
Yeah, Hunter x Hunter, you're just like, that's just not fair. You just have to wonder, like, how good is this series actually? Oh, hey, look, Nisekoi is number 30.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty respectable, actually.
I don't know how Total Love with Darkness beats it.
I don't know either, because the Japanese otaku are perverts. That's why.
Yes, that, and because this is a sequel to this continuation of the first series, so
yeah,
I can see why. But still,
well, I guess it has a built-in fan base, but I'm pretty sure that fan base was a bunch of freaking perverts too. if Bakuman is anything to go off of after you have that one scene early on when they're discussing To Love Ru. I'm like, you freaks. All of these characters are freaks.
Well, you should go blame Yabuki. Yeah. I once admired, but now I'm like, no, no, I don't want to be associated with him anymore.
Indeed. All right. And the manga, the 2013 manga sales top 30 by volume is pretty ridiculous. Where, I mean, you've got the top four are all One Piece's volume 69 through 72. Which, yeah, they're ranging from like 2,354,005 to 3,147,224. So that's just ridiculous. But it's basically, I think yeah, it's what, there were like four volumes of One Piece released this year, and all four of them are in the top four. With the top 15 through 5th place taken by basically, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Volumes 1 to 11 of Attack on Titan, which, if I'm not entirely mistaken, let's take a look at this, Attack on Titan. Let's see how many volumes have actually been released of that series. I don't think there's more than 11. Yeah, there's been 11 volumes released so far. So basically, the entire Attack on Titan series comes in second only to One Piece, so it's been a good year for that series.
And Titan already has a specified end to it, so it's like,
yeah.
Is there a pattern here? If the creators actually know how to end their series, is that why it sells good, or is it because they just plan out very well that okay, I know how it's gonna end, so now I gotta work my way up to that point.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty much how I do it too. Anyway, I kind of do it like that too.
Well, I think what I'm noticing overall is that the top 30 by manga sales is pretty much entirely made up of the top 10 or so, or top, well, no, more than top 10. I mean, it's basically the top 10, which all had, Saint Young Men was that in there. There's a few outliers. Where you've got ones that were way low in series-wise, but they had a good volume that sold really well.
We gotta read Saint Young Men, because
one of these days, yeah.
You're Mormon. I kind of consider myself a Buddhist, so in the same, it'd be kind of funny to read that.
It actually, yeah, kind of would, wouldn't it? We'd both be like, I am so offended by this series.
Like, I am Asian. I feel offended.
Yeah, that's. I've read a couple chapters. It was weird.
Yeah. But,
all right. Well, let's move on to the next one, shall we?
Yeah. Ooh. Okay. So, for those of you who have a 3DS, lucky you. One Piece Romance Dawn RPG trailer gets nostalgic, and it looks really cool. If you know, basically, when I watched the trailer, and basically, you can go around like an RPG and pick up, get treasures, open stuff. Oh, and when it comes to the boss fights, I gotta say, it's if you read the manga, if you know the manga, you've seen the anime adaptation, then you should know it's not going to be, 3-1. I'm gonna say that much, because obviously it can't be that way.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
Huh. It's in February of 2014. I wonder if Amazon will be carrying it. Let me check again. Romance Dawn.
Okay.
Search for that. It's only on the PSP that I'm finding it. I'm only finding the Japanese imports and stuff like that. So, let's see. Electronics, computers, books, software. Wait, what the? Video games. There we go.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Romance Dawn. Oh. Yeah, it's like they've got like the one on the 3DS system that's Romance Dawn, but it's a Japanese import. So it's not showing up on Amazon yet, so I'm thinking they might not have it on Amazon, which is a little worrisome.
Well, GameStop should have it.
Hopefully. I heard it was a limited release, so I'm a little worried. But
oh, man, I gotta get 3DS by February then.
Yep, pretty much. Get a job.
Actually, I'm on my way to getting that. I'll get to that later. Anyways, okay, so live action Rurouni Kenshin Sojiro Saito has a publicity shot.
Oh?
Yeah. Like, wait, I gotta read these things through next time.
So, yeah, that's probably a good idea, yo.
Yeah, so we basically get see how the, you know, who the actors gonna be playing who and all that, and
yeah.
Well, they're Japanese. The series is Japanese. I'm sure it'll work out.
Probably. Yeah. Anyways. I don't know. I mean, I still need to watch the Rurouni Kenshin movie. Maybe it will change my mind about. Will change my opinion about Japanese actors in general.
Well, I'll get. Oh, well, there's another live action. There's another live action adaptation of a popular Japanese series. I'm gonna get to later at the very end, I think. Anyway, Silver Spoon assistant director takes over for the second anime.
Excellent. I mean,
you know, assistant director. That's good. I mean, it may not be the main guy, but it's like, hey, you take the helm.
Well, yeah. I'm just good for him or her, whichever it is. But I'm just glad to see there's more news about the Silver Spoon. Second season. Let's see. Second anime season. Let's see. Silver Spoon. Returns to Noitama this January for its second half. Excellent. So in January, so it's not too far away. Excellent. I look forward to that, even though the anime hasn't the manga hasn't updated in a while, and I'm kind of wondering, why hasn't this anime or manga been licensed yet?
Okay, another kind of news, Gantz and Ichi the Killer manga creators team up. I don't know why Gantz.
I've never read Ichi the Killer, but it probably wouldn't like it, I think.
I think there was a movie based off the. There was, yeah.
Wait, this is weird. Let's see the first. Okay, we'll be teaming. See. Alright, looks like the anonymous video that looked a lot like Gantz author Hiroya Oku really was Hiroya Oku. After the video racked up 100,000 views, the follow-up is an announcement that Oku will be teaming up with Ichi the Killer creator Hideo Yamamoto on Yume Onna, Dream Woman.
Which, running in mornings, January 2014 issue, which will the sale it'll be pretty much be on sale 3 days from now in Japan.
Yeah. Oh, hey, another NSFW early look.
Yeah, I took a look at that. I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's kind of like, why?
Because I don't know. Japan is weird. They say that they want to go on they don't want to go on dates, but then they're doing this, and it's like, dude, this is why your population is declining. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah.
Assassination Classroom anime special detailed. There's no TV anime announcement yet, sadly, but there's a touring special for the popular anime. So I guess it's just... Oh, the 30-minute episode apparently had adapted the chapters 15 through 19 of animation. Interesting.
Intriguing. Let's see what happens
It's just a special so far. Okay, what's next? Oh, here we go. This is big because, you know how we talk about Naruto and...
And how it blows.
We finally get confirmation that it's preparing to enter its final phase, which explains the break and win on just recently.
Spoiler warning, especially if you've been following the anime rather than the manga. Hey, here's a spoiler for you. It sucks. I wonder how many listeners we lose every time we make a Naruto joke.
I think we lose plenty.
Probably, well.
But, hey, at least we're being honest, sometimes honesty can get you killed, so.
Let's see. The battle of Naruto and his comrades is in its final phase, in the truest sense of the term, about the Ten Tails, about Madara, and then about Sasuke. I will continue to raise attention without restraint in every way I can. Please follow this story of a boy named Naruto a little while longer. I will greatly appreciate it. Oh, we'll keep following it.
Keep following because we just want to see how it ends, Kishimoto. I do mean one of them. In a sincere way, not a very mean way.
Yeah. We are curious to see how it ends, even though we don't expect much.
I pretty much, the way I see it, it's going to be they're going to go meet Madara, all work together, take him down again for some reason, and then finally, about the last few chapters will be about, the whole Hokage thing, and then Sasuke, I'm going to be Hokage. And I'll be like, hey, what the heck? I'll be Hokage. And they fight each other or something.
Yeah.
And then we're probably, as far as we know, the ending is not going to go the way anyone wants it to go, because...
Probably not.
he's just gonna go, I'm gonna do my way, but say I'm gonna try to be careful about it, I'm gonna do it my way. And people are like, oh man, come on now, really? I think the reason why they try and end their series, mangas end their series like that is because if they're gonna make a new series, they don't want their other series to look like bad with the ending. Otherwise, people go, I don't want to read this guy's series anymore. Mm. And his next one's, you know, no, not worth it. And then, they have trouble. That's probably the reason why they have open-ended. Dang, missed that topic part.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Moving on. So, we have, okay. So, Shokugeki no Soma, Road Trigger, Aid Live, and Lady Cool have manga previews in the Shonen Jump. So, yeah, it's pretty good.
Cool.
I mean, World Trigger, it's kind of amazing how far it's come. I mean, it's like the first, you know, series that came into Weekly Shonen Jump Digital that did not get cut like everything else did.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, didn't see the video yet, but you know, I know about two of these series that I enjoy reading. Yes, I enjoy reading World Trigger.
Despite,
as long as I do not see the higher ups, then I will enjoy it. If I see the higher ups, I am gonna really hate it.
Indeed.
Like, I don't want to see these guys. Either write them properly or don't make me see them. Okay. So Konami is going to release a Nisekoi game for iOS and Android next January.
Mm.
So first Nisekoi game.
Interesting.
The only two heroines are going to be Chitoge and Kosaki. And
looks a bit odd.
It's very sketchy.
Yeah, like one of the screenshots has the command touch on it. I'm like, oh gosh.
Oh goodness, no.
What are you doing?
Death Note's Obata adapts All You Need is Kill Novel into manga. So this is what Obata's doing now. We don't know what his buddy's doing right now, but Obata's gonna be doing the artwork for this.
Mm.
Cool.
Indeed.
So All You Need is Kill revolves around a battle-armored soldier who finds himself dying and reincarnating over and over again during an alien invasion. That kind of sucks.
That would kind of suck, yeah.
It's like, I'm finally alive, bro! Kind of like a Doctor Who. You know how he dies and then reincarnates?
Yes, I do know that.
Except Doctor Who, where he doesn't get killed all the time, thankfully.
Yeah, well, it's not so much that he reincarnates, he just regenerates into a new body. It's not like he's reborn somewhere else, it's just... Yeah, it's more like, you know... His body reshapes itself rather than, you know, being born to new parents every single time.
Oh, wow. I see the cover, and I see a familiar cover of All You Need to Kill, that one, the very bottom of the three.
Mm.
Remember that one? I'm like, oh, that looks familiar. But yeah, Doctor Who, I'm not trying to say anything against it. I'm just saying I'm getting to it because it's too dang long to get into in the first place.
Oh, shut up, Mr. Reads One Piece.
Quiet. Quite.
Nobody that reads One Piece can ever say a series is too long.
Hey, I read.
You are forbidden.
I don't watch Doctor Who. It's the difference between reading and watching. Reading is pretty fast if you can read it and get what's going on. When you watch it, you gotta sit there for like an hour or two, and then sometimes the early episode's like 5 hours long or 7 hours long. How do you get 8 hours long even?
Well, you watch an episode a night. Just do like one episode a night. Watching one episode of anything isn't a big deal. And, you know, maybe if you decide, hey, I'm into this, and then, you know, it's like, you know, with anything, you don't have a commitment to watch the entire series. Just try the first episode, or try the second episode, try the third episode. See how long you can go until you get in or decide, this is not for me. That's kind of what happened to me with Adventure Time.
Yeah, tried that with the Ninth Doctor, and I kind of stopped like after episode 3. Although I kind of wish I did continue, because Charles Dickens one is pretty good.
I mean, with the Ninth Doctor, you kind of do have to go through that season to really understand sort of like a lot of the character stuff in season 2 with the 10th, But, you know, if you can get through the Ninth Doctor is definitely one of the weaker seasons. Even though I like a lot of his stuff, it just isn't as, you know, it's still starting off. They don't quite know what they want to do with that just yet. So,
who's the famous person that plays the Tenth Doctor again? What's his name?
David Tennant.
There you go, David Tennant.
Yeah, once you get into his stuff, you'll probably enjoy it a bit more.
Okay, so that's the news.
Yeah, what else is there?
Gurren Lagann baseball manga to launch in December. You know, hey, Gurren Lagann, you remember Gurren Lagann? Yeah, look, they got baseball now. Okay.
I never watched that series, and it's making me not want to watch it.
You need to watch it. It's done by the series that made your favorite anime. Come on now.
I never said it was my favorite anime. I just say I like it.
Well, okay, it's just the anime that got you in the anime.
Well, that's true, sort of. I mean, I did, I don't know, Ranma 1/2 did more for that than Evangelion, but Evangelion did play a big part in that.
Gurren Lagann takes some over the top with series and mix them together pretty well, if you ask me, in a way. You just gotta say that. It's just that you just gotta take it as it is and don't get too serious about, you know, don't go, oh, what the heck are they doing, and, you know, just watch it. I just watch it. That's how you enjoy Adventure Time. That's how I love enjoying critics going, what is this thing about? I'm just watching, I'm like, ooh, it's pretty silly. What's going on? I don't know. What's that the cat doing? Or snail? Yeah, there you go.
What?
I don't question things when I watch them for the first time.
Well, it is on Crunchyroll, so added to the queue. And it's also on Hulu.
Wait, Gurren Lagann?
Yeah.
Okay, because I tried to check and they don't have it. They just have like some sort of fan thing or whatever.
It's on Crunchyroll. It's also on Hulu.
The episodes?
All of them, yeah.
On Crunchyroll?
Yep.
You sure?
I'm looking at it right now.
I checked it. Oh,
well, I'm pretty sure it's, well.
It's not.
Yeah,
I'm
pretty sure it's, yeah, it's Gurren Lagann. It's the one.
Okay,
I can actually watch now that it's, it's only subs, but now that it's on my, that's on Crunchyroll, I can actually watch it on my TV, which makes watching anime a lot easier.
Watch anime on TV. Yep.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's kind of funny how it used to be, would be like, oh, watch anime on TV, because it's on, like, you know, these channels that we can watch it on. And then we're like, ah, oh, piracy, we're going to watch it all on our on our computers. Now we're like, oh, streaming, yay, we can do this legally on our computers. And then suddenly it was like, hey, we're making this available on streaming devices that you can stream to your TV. And we're like, yay, we can watch it on TV.
Let me just explain what this baseball version does. Okay. They rematch the characters in the anime as baseball players at Daigun Academy, and they meet a mysterious old man over a bowl of ramen with roast pork.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, seriously, that last line kind of sold me, because I want to see that.
Yeah.
Like, you want to play baseball?
Let me guess. Kamina gets injured and is taken out of this off the team for the rest of the series, huh?
That's horrible.
That's probably what would happen. But you know, that's the weird thing that I find with all the Gainax, with all of their, you know, all of their extra side, you know, spin-off manga, where I swear it's like every single one of them exists to pair off the characters that were sort of technically involved in the actual show but didn't get a happy ending, either because that's not how the anime ended or because one of the characters died. And I swear, it's like you've got so many different one of the different manga where it's all about, oh, hey, look, these characters are now together. Oh, hey, look, here's a spinoff that's entirely about these characters getting together. Oh, hey, here's a spinoff that's entirely based on this random moment from like the last episode of Evangelion, where it did like a parody of what if Evangelion were a high school romantic comedy.
In that case, it would not even be a spin-off. I would actually call it an alternate universe.
Well, there is that, but it's still a spin-off.
I know.
But anyway, I think that about wraps us up for the news, doesn't it? I mean, did we have anything else we needed to discuss?
No, we had quite a lot, to be honest. But I gotta admit, though, the whole, what was it, Naruto, you know.
Yeah.
And just enjoy for how it is. Just try not to get too fired up, guys. Don't start riots over, you know, how it ends. I'm gonna do my best not to.
I'm just going to try my best not to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Which,
I'm already ready for
no promises.
I'm sorry, but I'm already ready for disappointment.
Yeah.
Just make sure my one favorite character lives and I'm fine. I don't care how it ends.
That's horrible.
I know.
But yeah. Oh, well. Let's see. Anything else that we should discuss before we move on? Oh, no, yeah. One thing. Not. It won't happen this episode, but you might notice next episode that the audio quality will probably be a lot better because I've got a nice new mic on its way to me.
He might send me his old mic for some reason.
Maybe. Or maybe I don't know. I'll have to decide what to do with that because it's always good to have backups, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, you should keep your backup engaged.
Yeah, because, I mean, ideally what would happen is you buy a mic that isn't a piece of crap like the one that I have.
I don't end up buying a mic that's a piece of crap because I like old-fashioned mics. And I was like, wait, it's actually a piece of crap.
Yeah, it's like it's $10. It's not going to be any good. And then you were all like, oh, I'll get this mic. And I'm like, Mo, that's the one I use right now. And you're like, oh, I mean, granted, it's a serviceable mic. It does what it's supposed to. But it's a little annoying that we can only go an hour and a half before we need to unplug the mic to get rid of all that static.
Actually, you wouldn't believe it, but around like 23 minutes in, there was static going on. But I didn't want to sing because it'll disappear. And it did disappear over time. I'm like, oh, get it on.
Oh.
So your mic weird. Is kind of going
weird. Yeah. And I don't understand what it is, but there's, I don't know, honestly, there are times where it's like in the past like 10, 15 episodes, there was an entire segment where I forgot to plug in my mic and it was just going through my laptop mic. And I was kind of thinking, and I don't think anyone can notice the difference, which is kind of annoying, but hopefully this new one will be in a much better condition, and it will have a lot more settings, and I'll kind of play around with it, see what I can do. Hopefully, I'll end up not sounding so quiet. I don't know why it keeps doing that, but yeah. Well, like I said, it'll be arriving. I'll be getting it on Tuesday, but at the same time, I need time to play around with it, so we won't be using it this episode because it'd be kind of stupid to use a brand new mic that I haven't ever used before, and then just plug it in and start recording immediately. It'd be more of a pain, so we'll have to play around with that. But next week, you all should be getting that brand new mic sound, so should be nice. And let's see, anything else that we need? I think that's about it. Except, one bit of news, personal news, is that I am planning with some other friends that read just more books. We're going to start doing possibly a monthly podcast about books.
Cool.
And we'll kind of see what happens with that. Right now, I'm reading The Hunger Games, and I'm going to see how many of them I can get.
Really, you're reading Hunger Games? I'm reading that too. Which one, the first book?
Yeah, I'm
on the second part right now.
Yeah, I'm good. That's kind of where I am. I just got to the part where right after the game starts.
It's like I'm sorry to make comparisons every time, but seriously, if you're gonna make adaptation, and you gotta at least make it in its own way better than the original. If you're gonna make adaptation stand out.
Well, the thing that makes the book a lot better is you definitely do get the Katniss's. You know, you see everything from her point of view, so you get more of her character, and there's a lot of stuff that couldn't be brought across in a movie format. And there's also just the fact that there's a lot of what makes the books good is a lot of the small details that were left out of the movie that couldn't be put in the movie. So
I could have sworn they could have at least done somehow fit a few into the movie because there's a part with the pin. And I read that in the book. I was like, wait, what? What? Oh, come on now. You could have done something with that.
Yeah, they don't ever really explain what the heck Mockingjays are in the book, but
I mean about who gave her the pin.
Yeah, well, it was they had it be her sister in the movie. So oh well, but anyway, that's like I was saying, let's not turn this into a book podcast.
She got in the very beginning. Sorry.
yeah, we'll I'll have that podcast. I'll see what happens with that. I'll probably end up getting that put together. I'll probably be putting it on our site. And just as a different series, and I'll see how I'll have to see how doing multiple series works exactly. but
send me a link so I can listen to it myself.
I will. I'll make sure it gets on iTunes, but we'll have to see what happens with that. It's probably what we're thinking is it will be a monthly podcast.
That works.
Because, you know, just because it'd be almost impossible. I mean, it could be done, but it'd be ridiculous to do so, to read a book a week and then record every week. So it's more like spend a month reading a certain book or a certain series of shorter books and then talk about said book. And so we'll kind of see where we go. We're going to do the Hunger Games trilogy to start off with, just so we have a substantial amount of stuff to talk about. And then we'll kind of decide where to go from there. I'm pretty sure that there will be a lot of Dresden Files discussion going on.
Oh, boy. I'm going to get back into that. I'm still on the fifth book, I think.
Yeah, that one.
I'm sorry, but just
yeah, that will be an episode that you may have to skip when we do that.
The problem with Dresden is that I get too invested in it, and I don't want to know what happens next, and I'm afraid it might be what I think it is. Oh, no, I don't want to read more.
And then you read it, and it is, and you're like, son of a... Yeah, the thing with, as with all things, don't get into shipping with Dresden, whatever you do.
It gets too late weird. To tell me that.
Well,
to tell me that.
Tough. Oh, let's see what else. I think one of these days I'm going to finish the Wheel of Time, I swear.
Wheel of Time. Days. One of these days I'm probably going to do it if I ever get into it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's time for us. I think that about... Yeah, that wraps things up. Let's go ahead and talk about Evangelion Volume 2, by which I mean Evangelion Omnibus 2, containing Volumes 4 through 6. And we will see you all in that segment.
Ciao.
It's time for our weekly manga review. This time we are talking about Neon Genesis Evangelion Omnibus number 2, containing volumes 4, 5, and 6. And also known as the part of the story that where Evangelion actually properly starts for me, because you know what? Evangelion without Asuka just isn't Evangelion for me.
I agree. I very much agree.
Yeah, it's kind of like I always, even with the anime, there's always this moment where I'm like, Evangelion really starts in the episode where she shows up, and that's like 6 episodes in. And all the other stuff before, I'm like, yeah.
I don't like Rey, I'll be honest. Well, I don't like her.
I don't know. I like her. I like her part in the story, but I don't see, besides the fact that she's got a mystery and all that going on, she's a bit dull. But
very dull.
Yeah, Asuka, on the other hand, I mean, okay, look. The first 5 episodes, or first omnibus, since we're talking about the volume, the manga here, is a bit on the dull side, you know? I mean, it's good. It's still got some really good writing and everything going into it. But at the same time, it's Shinji being Shinji, showing the symptoms of very likely this is a depressed young man dealing with a lot of, you know, heavy stuff. The introduction of Asuka into the story is she's basically his foil, you know? Hmm. She's the exact opposite of him. She's loud, I was going to say bombacious, but I'm like, no, it's bombastic and audacious.
Bombastic, yeah.
2 separate words. But, yeah, she's very much, I mean, she's still just as broken as he is, as we later on find out, but she is very much not what he is. Brilliant statement right there. But here's the weird thing. I think I find that a lot of times people with Evangelion, there is a lot of people not liking certain things, elements of the story. You know, it's just that's one of the things that it's well known for. It's either, oh, we hate Shinji, or we hate Asuka, or we hate both of them.
Or, I hate the plot.
or we like one, but we hate the other kind of thing. And just as much as I don't get the deal with hating Shinji, because, you know, it's a very interesting kind of character. You know, yeah, he's mopey, he whines a lot, but at the same time, he has good reason to. And there is, you know, and it's interesting seeing just the way he develops in the story based on, you know, being thrown into this kind of situation while at the same time having some major emotional issues that he has to work through. And I like Asuka. Well, I mean, she has her own moments where it gets deep, but the main reason I like her is she's just freaking hilarious. I mean, come on, she's hysterical. That was my main takeaway from the first volume of this set, is that Asuka and Shinji's interaction is just really funny. You know? I mean, it's bad for him, but well, not bad for him, but I mean, it's something that he's not used to and he doesn't really know how to deal with it, but I mean, it really is very funny. I mean, some of my favorite moments are just, you know, her expression after she, you know, gives him a hard time, or like, you know, the one right after she gives his pen back, but she stuck a piece of gum on it.
Oh yeah,
It's just
that.
stuff like that where she's being like this two-faced little twit, but at the same time, it's just so entertaining to read. So I don't see how anyone could hate her. I mean, unless it's someone that's so obsessed with Shinji that they think that Asuka's interaction with him is bad for him, which, okay, fair enough, but dude, it's funny. I just like it, and I don't find her annoying in the way she is, you know, loud and obnoxious, kind of in the way that Shinji is whining, and, you know, just he's very passive and whiny. So I don't know. It's strange how the cast of Evangelion is very much. They have these extreme character models, and people complain about those the most. It's the main complaints that you find are Asuka is annoying, I can't stand her, or Shinji is whiny and annoying, and I can't stand him. I think the reason most people gravitate towards Rei is because she's the only one that doesn't have any kind of insane, annoying drama going on. I mean, sure, it turns out not in this volume, but when. Or wait, what? No, it wasn't this volume. Wait, not yet. Where we find out what her deal is, and then you're sort of like, oh, what's going on there? But yeah, otherwise, she's kind of just very much no drama. She's just whatever. She's aight. But so let's see. What else? Okay, yeah. So let's just sort of go over a little bit what happens in this volume. It's very much still the early parts from the anime. You know, the parts before everything gets really serious. The episodes that still have some lighthearted moments. Leading up to oh, which one was it? It was like seventh? Was it the seventh angel? The one that's in that possesses the Eva unit.
I think that was a nine.
Ninth?
it's a nine because apparently when we saw the first angel, it was actually the third because they actually
Okay.
fought two before then. Two appeared before then.
Well, I
I
think.
hate it when they do that. It's like, oh, the eighth angel appeared. No, it's actually the sixth. What?
Yeah. No, yeah, I think the point with that, Adam was the first angel, and you've had Lilith, who was like, I guess the second or something. I don't know. It's
I
or
think so, yeah.
something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, and so, okay, so the ninth, yeah, where it takes over the Eva unit that Toji was piloting, which. Yeah, and that's also one thing that we learn in this volume is that the school is actually basically a gathering place for where they keep all the potential pilots. So it's,
I didn't know that.
yeah, I think, I'm pretty sure it's
I
mentioned
guess
in
I
here.
guess it was hinted somehow.
Yeah, I don't know if it's flat out stated, and I might be remembering that from the anime and not the manga, but either way, that is the case. So it's kind of a little bit like what they're doing with Seraph of the End. Except not stupid.
Oh man, it's how you brought that back up like that.
Yep.
Like I didn't even think of it like that. I was like,
I mean, it's a parallel. One of them is doing it in a very dumb way, but it's still a parallel.
Still parallel.
But yeah, and so it's kind of the majority of this volume in the f well of this collection in the first two volumes. I mean, the first volume is basically all Shinji and Asuka's learning how to get along and work, work together and all that. Then in the second volume, we start into, just really getting to the old, hey, let's discover the mystery of what's going on, while at the same time, you still have you have a couple light moments with the kids, but you kind of, the more you learn about the backstory and what happened during, was it First Impact?
Yeah.
And what was that, Second Impact? Yeah, it was Second Impact, actually.
Second Impact, because the first was generally, the whole media.
Humans starting. They kind of still have some pretty, lighthearted stuff throughout that. But then once we get into, let's see, where are we? Yeah, into the third. When I say third, I mean sixth. Once we start getting into that, it's pretty much, there's fewer moments with the kids being not serious, and then you kind of build up the whole Toji and the class rep stuff leading up to the end of the volume, which is, stuff happening. At one point, that I'd like to point out was that in the anime, actually, Shinji doesn't discover that, Toji was the pilot in the Rogue Eva until they pull him out. In this one, he actually knows about it beforehand. So the fact that he knows that, oh, hey, it's my friend Toji that I'm, murdering, kind of makes it even worse for him. It's already bad enough that there's a human in it, and he knows about that in the anime, but in this one, it's like, oh, it's also a human that I like. And then the whole moment of, oh, let's pull him out of the Eva isn't used as, oh, look, it's Toji, oh my gosh. No, it's more a, oh, hey, look, it's Toji. Oh, he doesn't have a heartbeat. So, heavy. This is where stuff got heavy. What were you, Mo, remind us, tell the viewers, listeners, what exactly were your general impressions? I mean, one sentence per volume. What were your reactions throughout reading this collection?
Volume 4. This is actually really funny. Volume 5. So much drama. Volume 6. Holy shit!
Yeah. Followed by a, Derek, why did you make me read this?
Why did you make me read this?
Because true art is suffering.
That is?
No,
that,
I don't
know. No, that's actually true.
Well, sort of, except I'm of the opinion that it doesn't have to be miserable for it to be proper art. But, might be because, according to this, according to this New York Times editorial, it was like, oh, Mormons can't do true literature because their outlook is too shiny and happy. And I'm just like, shut up. That doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But just a little veer off the topic here. Yeah. Generally, when it comes to the whole miserable, outlook on things in the story, lots of series are like that. Madoka, Neon Genesis Evangelion, Boku no Berserk, the popular ones.
There is very much a case of, for there to be true art, there has to be,
because for some
suffering
reason,
and everything.
The only series I can think of that does not have any sort of suffering yet somehow delivers it very well, even though it's a slice of life series, is
Yotsuba.
Yotsubato,
Yeah, well, I think people would make the argument that, oh, this is not true art, and I'm like, dude, why isn't it? Because, I don't know, because there's very much, there's very much this whole sense that, with proper literature, or you write something set in the real world and everything, and it's sort of like, okay, so you're of the opinion that for this to be proper literature, it has to be set in the real world, no giant robots or sci-fi or fantasy elements. But at the same time, you have a series like Yotsuba, which is set in the real world, no fantasy elements whatsoever, in the slightest, and yet you'd still see people like, oh, it's not, it's too happy, it's not real literature, which at the same time, I'm like, okay, look, make up your mind. It doesn't have to be, you know, if you say that it has to be set in the real world for it to be proper literature, but then constantly be all, oh, it has to be all about suffering, that's not really life, you know?
No, if you're all about suffering, I think that's the Buddhist way for some reason. Like, life is suffering. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I'm not going to suffer, Buddha, no.
Yeah, it's...
Release your desires. Escape them. I'm like, no. I kind of want to live in a house, have a roof, have food, not starve, stay warm.
Yeah.
Suffering. That's the reason why I had trouble reading Evangelion and getting into it. Everybody's saying, oh, it's a great series. I'm like, I'm like, dude, it's so freaking depressing. I don't want to read or watch this.
It is, yeah, it is odd because, I mean, there are some very fun moments. And I don't know, the first collection of the first three volumes are pretty grim overall. I mean, there's a lot of, oh, hey, this is very much a, you know, everything is sad and depressing and everything. Or, well, it's not quite gotten sad and depressing, but it is very much, you know, Shinji being put in a terrible situation and the impact that it has on him. And then it kind of, with this second collection, it goes into the idea that, oh, hey, as long as he has, you know, friends and people around, you know, things aren't so bad. You know, there's this real sense of there's more hope throughout the first volumes 4 and 5 of this.
Yeah.
Just overall. And then, of course, in volume 6, everything goes to crap as, you know, his friends are being dragged away from him and everything. So, horrible. I don't know. Yeah. So after reading this one, these three volumes, overall, what is your opinion of this series? I mean, that looks like may have been a slight change.
There are a couple of changes. Like, generally, minor, but they're noticeable because I've seen the anime and like what volume where Atsu first appears. In the anime, they were with her when they were seeing her demonstrate her skills and such.
Yeah.
But in this one, she's already doing herself, so they don't need to see it.
Yeah, well, the idea being that it would take more time to have them go all the way out there, so they might as well just recap it in just a couple pages.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that too.
Mm-hmm. So... Yeah.
But then the part where Shinji finds out that Toji is actually the pie, that actually... was a lot better than the anime, because the anime, he didn't even know. I mean, yeah. You know, sometimes life's like that, you know, you just don't know until it's too late. And, but this one, it feels more merciful. I mean, okay, it might be messed up, but still merciful, because he knows. So it's like, you know, it kind of gives reason to why he's like, I don't want to kill him, he's my friend. It just help him get out of that damn thing. Like, no, you either kill him.
Yeah, it's...
Or you doom us all, but no, here's the thing about Gendo. When he actually seemed a bit more hesitant when it came to the whole, okay, so what's the status on Unit 03's pilot? He's not going to make it. Well, try and get him out. Just, he didn't say it like that, but he said, like, just try and get him out. But then, okay, it doesn't work. Okay, fine. Might as well.
Yeah,
so Gendo wasn't really as cold-hearted as I thought in this one.
Yeah, what's really interesting about this particular part of the story is that it's different in each version that covers it. In the original anime, Shinji doesn't know it's Toji until the end, and Toji is pretty much crippled but alive. This version, he knows it's Toji, and then he ends up... Well, he's pretty much... Well... spoilers and all, but he's kind of dead.
Yeah, the panel kind of gives away. There's like, you know, they didn't say he's dead, but they gave the signs that, he's not.
Well, he's momentarily dead at the very least. Yeah, and then, of course, there's the rebuild movies where it's Asuka in there because they didn't want to develop Toji or Kensuke enough to make the moment mean anything. And I guess it does kind of mean a little bit more, sort of, just because she's more involved in that story, which,
yeah.
It is, it's, It is still very much a case of, oh, this is a traumatic experience, but for slightly different reasons in that version. But
It
overall, with this.
wasn't as bad as I thought it'd be to read, but when I got to, but basically when I was getting near the end, was getting near the finishing volume six, I was like, I know what's gonna happen next. I know what's happening next. I don't want to read this anymore, but I have to read it because if I don't, then there's me like, oh, you haven't read it? I read it. I'm like, oh yeah, you took like longer to read because, well, I have work. Well, still, I don't want to read because it's just freaking heartbreaking.
Yeah,
Really.
it is very much just kind of unpleasant to read, you know?
But yet, for some reason, when it makes you feel unpleasant or something, that means what the writer was trying to convey, they did it right. Whatever they were trying to convey, they did something. They made you feel something. You don't feel anything when you read it. Then go see a psychiatrist because there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, it's very much, well, I don't know. It just, this series is very much a case of, yeah, it's dark and heavy, but at the same time, there's enough light moments early on that make it more enjoyable to read and make the dark moments have more of an impact. There's plenty of series where I've read that are dark, dark, dark from the very beginning, and all they do to get to escalate is they get darker. You know, it starts off with, I mean, random example. Let's say a series starts off with a dude killing a bunch of guys and a woman almost being raped. It's gonna end escalate to dude killing even more guys and a woman actually getting raped. And it's not pleasant at any point, you know, so that it doesn't feel, there's no sense of, oh, this is something that I can get into, so the whole darkness later on doesn't do, just doesn't have the impact it should. You know, it's just very much, this is dark and unpleasant the entire way through, and I don't feel like reading this. Well, Evangelion, as much as it's kind of like dark and depressing to start off with for the first three volumes, is still some, it's not completely dark, and then we have some pretty light moments between the, you know, with the characters going through volumes 4 and 5, and then after that it gets kind of yeesh. And yeah, so right. Was there anything specific about this one that stood out that you felt needed mentioning again?
I don't know why, but somehow Kensuke really stood out to me for this one by going, oh, you know, but then just sometimes he's had to think for girls like Asuka and women like Misato and like,
Well, smart boy.
okay, but
Smart boys.
is that really how otaku generally act like? Really? Like the way he acts, you
I
know,
have
like
no idea. I've never met any.
AK-47s, these, you know, bullets and cartridges. I'm like, what?
Well, if they're otaku about that kind of crap, then sure, I guess.
I guess so then. Yeah, he's still talking
Yeah.
about the artillery apparently. He's like, don't give this guy. Actually, then we've met. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
Unless you want to
it's.
have something like
Yeah,
Eyes of the
don't
Dead,
give him an
Boku no
Ava. For
Hero.
the love of everything, don't give him an Ava.
Yeah, they're probably like, this kid might have the potential. You probably should not give it to him, though.
Yeah, potential for destruction.
It's like we should go with this kid. No, this kid's probably better, but trust me, you go with this kid. I seen this kid in acting. There's this thing is Katsuragi is saying it. It's like, no, you don't want to give it to him.
No,
So the story is
yeah.
all.
Oh gosh, yeah. I think, oh, another thing worth pointing out is they change around the whole, you know, forcing Asuka and Shinji to live together, because they sort of actually put them in a separate hotel room, or not a hotel room, but like a separate room with two beds in the nerve base. And yeah, and they kind of changed that. I'm not sure why they changed that part specifically, but I guess, yeah, I guess Sadamoto just kind of wanted to do his own thing with that. But and then they still have Asuka move in with Misato and Shinji, which I don't know. It seems like an unnecessary change, because in the original it was, in the anime it was just sort of Asuka's there and she's all, oh hey, you need to you need to move out because I'm moving in with Misato now. And then Misato's like, no, you're living together so you can learn how to, you know, synchronize, and then they continue living together afterwards, which it's just sort of like, you know, it was a little more smooth. While with this one, it's kind of, oh, yeah, we're going to force you to stay in a room. Oh, and now you're going to live together. And you're just like, Misato insisted, but why? I don't know. And I guess the kind of idea is that with this one, you have Asuka moving in with Misato and Shinji, and now she's a bit more fond of him. Like, you know, she still acts like a jerk around him, but she's, you know, she's not as antagonistic as she was before after they've kind of learned to synchronize and all that.
Mm.
So I guess that sort of works, but...
Yeah, that's the one thing I like about Volume 4. Oh, look, Asuka's not as much of a B-I-T-C-H as the ending made her out to be in some way or another.
Yeah, it does mellow her out a bit. I think that's... And that's the one thing I like about the manga. Yeah, that's one thing I like about the manga is it takes certain of aspects from the anime and mellows them out a little bit. Like, for example, and I mean, this is a bit of a spoiler, but we'll be getting to it in about 3 or so weeks. But, you know, that certain infamous scene from the end of Evangelion is not in the manga. So,
of course, because that end of Evangelion was meant for the people who didn't like the message that, Anno sent out. So that was FU to them, apparently.
Pretty much, yeah. It was very much a case of, oh, hey, you guys...
freaking out, being upset, not getting what you want,
Yeah, well, I don't know, that sounds more like what the... what the anime fans would have sounded like. Anno was just, you know, fine. Okay, you want more? You want a proper ending? Here you go. Shinji is 1 degree removed from being a rapist. Congratulations. Which, at the same time, you're like, oh, and by the way, all of you that jacked off to this scene where you see Asuka's naked chest, congratulations. You're no better. Ugh. That's an uncomfortable realization right there. But no, I mean, you know, it's basically, oh, hey, you know, he masturbates over an unconscious girl.
Yeah, I don't really care for it.
You've got I'm pretty sure there are plenty of anime fans that watch that movie and are like, whoa, Asuka is, you see her tits, which is something we haven't seen in this series at all. So, naturally...
And the fire alarm gets set on fire or something.
And suddenly you're just like, oh, it's how is the average, I think it's basically, yeah, it's meant to be, hey, okay, yeah, you're complaining, all right, fine, here, this is a satire of you, these obsessed anime fans, which is kind of like, it's uncomfortable to think about that, how many people there were that complained about that, probably because it struck a little too close to home. Personally, I just kind of thought it was distasteful. And that's why I like to ignore the end of Evangelion, except for the manga version, which is actually not bad.
But manga version? We're reading the manga version?
Yeah. The manga version of the... The end of the manga is End of Evangelion. But with some changes in character-wise, where, you know, it has its moments with Shinji backpedaling, but he doesn't backpedal as much as he does in the movie, which is nice. But, yeah, so I think, I'm just kind of skimming through, see if there's anything else here. Nothing that I feel really needs discussing per se, although, except for one note, is that as opposed to the first omnibus, this one doesn't actually have any straight up nudity. I mean, well, there's one or two scenes/pages of Rei, except there's no detail drawn in, so it's meant to be more like one of those sort of ethereal. This is the character's soul or spirit, and it's not wearing clothes because souls don't have clothes, but we're not drawing in the details to emphasize that this isn't actually their real actual body.
Mm.
You know, so it makes it a little bit safer to read for people that are trying to read it around people that find nudity in comic books questionable. So it has that going for it.
Really, people just need to get off their high horse and just, you know, stop freaking out over, oh my God, it's a naked boob.
Well, I'm thinking more along the lines of the parents of certain listeners or readers have said,
oh my God, what are you making these? What are you making for these children? Hey, quiet, you have no suit.
Yeah.
What are you complaining about?
Thank you for that comment.
Ugh. Oh yeah, wait, what was it?
The, hey, you have these too, I assume referring to breasts.
Oh yes.
Thank you for that. Ugh. Why? So, yeah. Anyway, I think that wraps up our discussion here. Let us now take a moment and just let you know what's coming up for the next couple weeks. As we discuss this pretty much every week, we discuss what our plans are. But at the moment, the current plan is, of course, for some reason, Fairy Tail 33 came out like 2 weeks earlier than it did last month. So we have Fairy Tail Volume 33 to look at and discuss. And we're gonna, we haven't read through it yet. Well, we've read the chapters before, but we haven't read this one yet. But yeah, from my initial skimming, I have to say there's some bonus pages at the end where you actually get to see the Sorcerer magazine where, yeah.
What?
The one with the nudity in it. Like, you actually...
Oh, Fairy Tail.
Yeah, you actually get to see some of the characters. Like, you see Wakaba and... Oh, what's the other one? What's his name? I forget.
I don't remember. See, that's the problem with...
Wakaba and the dude that Natsu saves in, like, Chapter 2.
Oh, Macau.
Macau, yeah, there we go. Makarov.
I should remember Macau. You said Wakaba because those two are always, they're inseparable. They're like
exactly. Bros. Yeah, they basically, it's a little extra thing that there's no dialogue or anything, but they go to buy that Sorcerer magazine, and it turns out that the magazine actually is 3D. You know, you open it up and the pictures just pop up in a 3D magic hologram, basically.
Wow.
I'm just like, wow, that These wizards sure know what to do with porn. We'll discuss that later when we get there. It's actually really funny. Oh. But anyway, yeah, so Fairy Tail Volume 33, continuing the fights. Which, we'll have to see where this goes. But, and yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah, Volume 33.
Yeah, and then after that, oh yeah, that guy. Yes, that guy is there.
I hate that guy.
Yeah, I know. He sucks. But what we will, let's see, we have, after that, we have two omnibuses of Evangelion left. Now.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
There's only four omnibuses.
That's short, but okay.
The series is 14 volumes long, and the last omnibus is 10, 11, and 12. Volume 13 was published as a standalone manga volume, which, right now, the current plan is to, well, let's see, how many weeks do we have left in this one? We have, like, well, we've got the 9th, the 16th, the 23rd, and the 30th.
Okay.
So, on the episode of the 9th, we're going to talk about Fairy Tail. Then we've got the 16th, the 23rd, and the 30th, during one of which we probably will be taking a break. Just because there won't be any chapters out, which, I don't know which one it is, though, is the thing. Though I've thought of a second idea. Maybe what we could do to make sure we get through everything is we could, let's see, we could always take the day that there are no manga chapters and just review two omnibuses. Review, just go over volume 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 during, just make it our third special, make it extra long and have it just be a review of that and the 13th volume as well. Which I think that might work. That would probably be, well, would that be the 16th or 23rd? Well, actually I'm not sure. What week do they have off? Okay, if the week of the 16th, is when those are off, then that's what we're doing.
Okay.
If it's not the week of the 16th, we still need to cover something, so we'll end up doing Omnibus 3. And then if it's like the week of the 23rd, that's off, then we'll just do, we'll just take that week off and then have the following week be the final Omnibus plus the 13th volume. I think that should work. Okay, yeah, that's the plan for now. If after, or, actually... do you remember if the chapters said anything about there being it being off at some point?
I don't recall.
You know, well, this week's edition of Shonen Jump.
No, they didn't say anything yet.
No, didn't mention anything? Okay.
Nope.
Right, so next week there's probably going to be chapters. Otherwise, they would have said, yeah, we're going to be off for a week. So, yeah, we'll definitely be able to cover Fairy Tail then. We'll have to think of a topic time to go over. And then after that, like I said, two omnibuses of Evangelion in 2 weeks Shonen Jump is off. That will give us more time during regular episodes to discuss other stuff. So, yeah. And I don't know, I just feel like having special episodes is nice. Though I would like to take a week off, so we might just end up doing that. We'll decide later, but that's the current thought. If that doesn't happen, well, then obviously you, the listeners, when all that didn't happen. And, okay, I think that wraps up our little discussion of what to do within the next review segment and the next couple review segments. So let's go ahead and move on to the commentary for this week's chapters. All right, it's time for the manga commentary for the week of December 2nd, 2013, including the weekly Shonen Jump chapters and the Kodansha chapters that are currently being published on Crunchyroll. So I think let's not waste any time. Let's just go ahead and talk about it immediately.
Yep.
So, starting off with Chapter 6 of Seraph of the End, which... great way to start the week, really. Thank you.
It's even on the cover.
I know.
Oh, hey, look, it's everyone's favorite book. Tag you, what's his name, Hyaku.
Yeah.
They're going to try so hard to be cool on the cover.
Well, at least they used the non-Emerald City color scheme on there.
now it's ruby.
Yeah, it's the ruby slippers.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so this chapter, what do we think of this chapter?
I actually liked it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say I liked it, but I didn't find as much that I found offensive, you know? I mean, previous chapters of this series have just flat out offended me. This chapter, I mean, besides the stuff that we've already experienced and somewhat gotten used to, what with the fact that I absolutely despise Yuichiro because...
he is indeed just everything we really hate in the protagonist that we don't want to see. That is actually his main trait for some reason. Anyways.
Yeah, it's like all the worst shonen protagonists but amplified. Not fun.
So this chapter, when I saw when I saw Gruen like just walking, it basically starts with it turns out that the teacher that thought was SEQ and all that was as a substitute teacher, so she was taking over for his class. So Gruen walked in and was like, oh, hey, I'm like, okay, so you can survive this, then you have the right to continue. If you don't, well, you're dead. Too bad.
I'm like, what? And then he attacks them all. Because,
just send all demon orbs around and you don't survive it. Too bad. Your fault.
Yeah, I always find it kind of weird when it's like this. I mean, I understand the whole, if you, you know, we have to test you and test you hard, so if you die, that's because, you know, you're probably going to die later on anyway. But at the same time, it's always weird when that's done in a school setting, you know? Mm-hmm. It just feels kind of like, oh dear.
Speaking of the school setting, it's kind of like... okay, let's go back to Yuichiro, how pretty much he's pretty much the he's pretty much got every trait of a Shonen protagonist that we hate that's amplified.
Yeah.
And it turns out he's actually also stupid too. So that's kind of a punch.
Dumber than every other manga protagonist ever. Like, he literally scores a 0 on his test, and I'm just like, you have to not write anything on there to score zeros.
Actually, he wrote, but he didn't write properly, so he just got incorrect. Well, incorrect, all incorrect. Yeah,
I mean, even the law of averages states that even the dumbest person, if they just write something, they're going to get something right. You know?
Tell that to Death the Kid. There was, okay, what?
Well, I mean,
this is
another manga character, but okay, go ahead.
It is a manga character. Anyways, it's related, like, what I remember from one of the earlier chapters was when they were taking the test. That the kid's actually a very smart person. He's a very smart person. Right. He's so perfectionist in the semantical sense. That's actually his thing. And he can't even write, he can't even finish writing his name.
That is... Okay, I definitely need to read more Soul Eater.
Yes, you need to read that.
Indeed, but... Yeah, so with this chapter, I mean, basically the focus of it is they get their demon gear and we do the whole, oh, hey, I want to protect everyone because I want to be strong because I want to protect everyone and kill vampires. And I'm like, eh, okay. Motivation, yay. I mean, there's a different... I mean, at least he has a proper motivation. We know what his motivation is. As opposed to, like, Yuma, where we didn't know what his deal was for, like, 30 chapters.
Yeah.
But even if you have the bare minimum motivation, which it's, you know, better than nothing, it still has to be good motivation, you know? I kind of feel like we're the ones, like, we're always complaining, you need at least some kind of motivation. But then when we finally do get something with some kind of motivation, we're like, okay, yes, but... It's like we're never satisfied, but, you know, well.
Yeah, you know, hey, my movie is revenge. So, okay, guys, move this one. And then we're pretty much going, oh, gosh, revenge isn't real. Because Sasuke ruined it. Sasuke, yeah. He may not even be a main character. He ruined the revenge thing for us. Yeah. He just ruined it.
Well, I mean, revenge Killed was the old dead. Before Sasuke came around, honestly.
I know, it's true.
It's lazy. It's a lazy character motivation. I mean, there's nothing else we can say about it. It's just... boring. It's not interesting. You know, we've seen it before. I don't care about seeing it again. The trappings may be different, but I've seen vampires before. I've seen post-apocalyptic before. This is a combination of elements that I've all seen before, and they're combined in ways that they've been combined before. I mean, nothing is original, but where you get something good is when that unoriginal bits and pieces that the story I made of are all put together in a way that hasn't been done before. This has been done before. Mm-hmm. Or at least, if not all the exact elements, at least very close. I mean, post-apocalyptic and vampires.
And then,
Vampire Hunter D.
Yes.
Okay, or, let's see, Revenge and Vampires. I'm just trying to think.
Oh, I think Vampire, I thought you were trying to zombie. I was going to mention something about, like, nah, you don't like that series.
I don't know, yeah. I wouldn't say Helsing because it's not so much about revenge, but... Man, no, vampires, whatever. It's, yeah, this chapter, I mean, I did like the ending where we find out that Yoichi is, you know, he's been possessed by one of the demons because he didn't have a strong heart or something. I don't know, the whole what it takes to get to control a demon gear is so vague, where at one point they're like, oh, Yoichi is the one that can resist the demon energy the most, but he's also the weakest heart, or I don't know, it's bizarre. It doesn't really make sense.
I think it's about having a clear cut. I think the way to control demons is to have a clear cut, you know, a clear cut goal. At the same time, not to get, you know, sidetracked by whatever. Like, that's pretty much how you choose it. Like, hey, I know what I want. Don't try and trick me. But, okay, fine.
I guess maybe, but
oh, and then there's a
he
whole,
had a goal. I mean, yeah. You know, he wants to protect people. It's the exact same thing. And then what's his face?
And then at the very and then before that, there's also a little mention about how that demon was telling him, like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, you're actually not full human, little something in there. I'm like,
yeah. One title, tenth, whatever.
Seraph.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's in the, yeah, like you said, it's in the title. So,
yeah. Right, Angel.
Well, either way,
Maybe could have seen Angel for once. I mean, I've always seen Venus and Batman, but never an Angel, you know?
Yeah. Well.
I mean, okay, there are Angels. Angel Sanctuary. Yeah.
You're getting a bit.
Yeah.
I'm getting a bit of static from your end.
Okay, I'm trying not to speak too loud. It's like midnight here.
Well, no, I mean, that's not what it is. I'm just on your end. Your voice is a bit distorted.
That's weird. Usually I hear static from my end.
Yeah.
From you. Well.
Anyway. Let's carry on to Naruto chapter 656, where,
Jusaku's are still there.
Pretty much, like, we're not helping you because you asked, we're helping you because we want to help Naruto and something. I'm like, okay, fair, whatever. Yeah, and I don't know, yeah, with, apparently we almost have a repeat of this stupid ending of the Pain arc, where he's like, I'm going to bring everyone back. And then Madara's like, lol, nope. And then he uses it on himself. And now he's fully alive. And
was he trying to revive?
He was trying to revive, you know, all the dead ninjas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but Madara uses it for himself. And he's like, now I am alive. And I have, you know, I am more powerful because I am alive. And I'm like, the not being able to be killed part probably would have come in handy, but okay. So, yeah, basically now we're going to have to fight against Madara.
And he's all flesh and blood again.
Yeah. I think what we, the parallel that I see to this is when Aizen pulled out yet another Deus Ex Machina, anti-Deus Ex Machina, because he's the bad guy, reveal of his powers and just, you know, beat everyone and continued the fight onward when we thought it was over. With this one, it was kind of like, I mean, we knew they'd have to fight him, but at the same time, it just feels like one of those, oh gosh, it's going to be as long as it took them to fight against Obito. Please just end it. It's dragging on. It is I mean, this whole arc has been dragging on, but the...
Well, that's because it's already slated to end. We're just trying to do whatever we can to keep it going. It's a sad...
It's probably the editors trying to keep it going, but it's boring. I mean, the climax has gone on for way too long. This better not be more than 10 chapters. If it's more than 10 chapters, I will be furious. And even 10 chapters is too long, but...
It'll be funny, though, if this at the end before Bleach.
That would be amusing, but... I don't know. I'd actually honestly like to see Naruto end before Bleach. Let's be honest here. Yeah, and...
Moving on, let's move on to something better.
Oh my gosh, this chapter, Toriko... Chapter 259. Oh my gosh, I knew the map was relevant. I knew it. It's just the way we finally find out what the deal is with the center of the human world just being our world, you know? And we basically, from Coco, we find out that he found this like rock on the interior of the earth, and he found that it's alive, it's absorbing energy, and so he hypothesizes that at some point, probably during like the dinosaur ages, there was this meteor that impacted Earth and like went all the way to the center of the earth, and throughout the millions of years it was growing until it finally, you know, burst out and formed a new, basically kind of just created new landmass. You know, it just burst out one end, engulfed the world, made a larger part, and made a new core. And like our original Earth is like a little ball that's on the side of that, of, you know, the larger new Earth. And I was just like thinking, I was just looking at that, I was like, oh my gosh, finally, I knew it was relevant. Oh yes, I was quite happy about that. Yeah, because, I mean, just like the entire time I was looking at that, from the very beginning, I was like, oh, look at that, right in the middle there. Oh, look, that's our Earth. That's our regular Earth. But I guess it's, you know, it's a fantasy world, obviously, but there's all these other, you know, continents and stuff. So, okay, but I never would have thought that it would have been something like this, where Earth was originally just Earth, but the entire rest of the planet just was grown by this creature that was growing on the inside. I loved it. I absolutely loved it, because it brought back something that I've been thinking about for a long time. It brought back a new mystery. We've got a new direction, more or less a new direction for the series, you know, with they need to find Ichiryu's gourmet, his full course
full
meal.
course.
Yeah, and
Basically, they just need to finish it. They just need to find his main dish, which is in Biotope 1.
Mm-hmm. And basically,
and they need Toriko's sense of smell. Of like, Toriko, stop being depressed already.
Yeah, they do have that whole moment where it's like Toriko just standing there, Rin's kind of standing behind a tree and looking all sad because he's sad and stuff. And then Gerald's there and like, oh yes. Yeah. It was a great chapter. I mean, the focus for me was very much just the whole reveal that, yeah, this used to be just Earth, our Earth. Yeah. But, and I mean, I know it's not the actual, this is what happened, it's just Coco's theory, but it's just the way it is. You're just like, oh, this makes sense. It's bizarre and weird, but it makes sense, you know?
I mean, you know, meteorite comes in, does weird stuff. I mean, every time something comes out from another space, something weird happens in the world.
Yeah. Oh, and also worth mentioning that yes, that mineral turns out that most likely it's where the gourmet cells came from. So you know, it's basically a bit more sci-fi than we thought it was.
Also, yeah, we do get confirmation that Coco did use too much poisons. That's why his hair ended up being white.
Yeah, good point. It doesn't say whether it's permanently gone, like I theorized at first, but
doesn't seem
he's
like
used it. Too much. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about World Trigger, Chapter 41. So, what stood out the most to you this chapter, Mo?
Well, actually, I almost thought it was it's actually not saying part something for once now.
Yeah, it's Chapter 41 of World Trigger, Replica. We'll probably get part twos on that later.
Yes, it's still tied up third character. So.
Indeed. Well, which I'm honestly, it's a convention of the series I'm fine with.
Yeah.
You know? And, yeah, so, yeah, overall.
So it turns out that the Midori Kawa is basically just jealous of Osamu agent's attention.
Yeah.
It's like just getting jealous of whoever jealous of.
Indeed, yeah. It's very much, it just wraps up the past couple of chapters, gives us a sense for the characters. I'm like, oh, okay, he's not a complete little jerk. He's just kind of like, he's a jealous little jerk, but yeah.
He's a good hard jealous little jerk. Oh, anyways.
So they go with the, the higher-ups. Mm-hmm. They want Yuma's opinion of this the possibility of there being an invasion from the neighborhood, which... what do you want... Okay, all right. $50 says that Mr. Rogers is the ultimate bad guy. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day for death.
He's got a sniper rifle. Okay,
yeah. It's like, I knew there was something shifty about them hand puppets. Oh, gosh. It's just, oh my gosh. No, this is literally, okay. You've got Yuma, who's in an artificial body. Replica, who's an artificially created being, a puppet, if you will.
Oh, dear.
This is the Japanese version of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Who's Mr. Rogers in this situation, then? Probably Jin. I don't know. Oh, no. It's, it's Kido. He's Mr. Rogers. He's Mr. Rogers after the puppet rebellion in the neighborhood, and he became a hardened badass. Oh gosh, I make myself laugh.
Oh my goodness. I just made me enjoy this chapter even more because of that.
This series is now my number three now. This is my number three series just because it's a gritty reboot from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Okay, so
Anyway, carry on. So
you and Kilo pretty much make a deal, and you try to do like, then in the like replica's like, okay, I'll give you information only if I have that guy's word that he won't do anything kind of crazy. You and Kilo try to use his own wording like, okay, I'll do anything as long as I can guarantee, so long as you don't do anything stupid.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then replica, who's able to like pretty much sense their. Sense his own line, is like Kido, and it's like a little panel, but okay, I told you now. I told what's going on. It's like, fast, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe he's telling the truth, or, you know, maybe Keto's like just very good at playing poker face.
Poker face?
Poker face.
Sorry, I had to. Sorry.
I know.
Right. And, yeah, so, or Yuma is not mentioning it because he's like, yeah, pointing this out probably won't help my case. But anyway, yeah, I think overall, I like this chapter. I mean, I didn't have much that stood out as a particularly bad thing, you know? So, I mean, you know, I was like, oh, I'm cool with this. But yeah, I mean, it was actually a pretty decent chapter overall. Can't really complain.
Can't complain.
Yeah, but let's see. Let's move on to okay, this week has been bad to aha to not bad to oh my gosh for the wins. Best chapter this week.
Also, notice how the chapter is 101. So when you read it, it's when you read the title of the series and you read 101, it's like you're taking class on
Nisekoi 101. And yes, it kind of is, because this is one of the funniest chapters of Nisekoi in a long time. It is basically the, if you read this as your introduction, you will get what is great about this series. It's, oh my, I honestly, I want an entire series, a spin-off, just about the parents. Chitoga's parents, Onodera's mother, I mean,
Rasu's
she take,
father.
oh, okay. Pardon the expression, but Onodera's mother takes the cake this chapter.
Yeah.
She is
I
absolutely.
could not stop laughing. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm making those faces. I cannot stop laughing.
That very first phase was, I need to look at it again, but it's just like that very, very first phase. You're just like, oh, so this is what we're in for this week. This is amazing. Oh, why is my app not working? There it goes. I mean, it's just, oh my gosh. It's like, okay, so basically the idea is somebody's opened up a cake shop across the road, the street from, you know, the Onodera's cake shop. And it turns out that it's one of the guys from Raku's gang, and Raku's helping out. And when the Onoderas go to check it out, they see him there. Oh gosh. Mrs. Onodera's reaction is just, without a doubt, the best face that has ever been drawn in this series. And this page is just the best page in the entire issue. It's
Which page? Would you mean like
the
the second
very
page?
first one, you know, when they see that Raku is working at
Oh,
the
yeah.
cake shop.
Yeah.
It's
I was like, what?
fantastic. And
I wasn't staring at her back off in her business, like, what?
throughout the entire thing, she's just hysterical. He's like, one piece of chocolate cake, please, traitor. It's like, is that for here? Yes, turncoat. Like, please have a seat wherever you like. Fine, moron. And oh my, it's like, thank you for waiting. Thank you, scuzzbag. And then, of course, Raku tries to make things better. He's like, oh, I'll make a combination, you know, Western style cake with traditional Japanese confectionery mixed in there. And it's a big hit. And it makes things worse for the Onoderas. And of course, he's trying to make peace, and everything he tries just keeps getting worse and worse. And she keeps escalating by, you know, having her daughters wear these shorter skirts on their uniforms. And then it gets to the point where Onodera tells Raku, is like, she's going to make us wear swimsuits. She's kind of
It's
a
not
terrible
the
mother this
swimsuits,
chapter,
and
but
it's
oh
not the
my gosh.
swimsuits.
It's. And then, of course, it ends with them basically doing a joint promotion, and, you know, it all ends well. But still, this chapter was phenomenal. It was just, I mean, if you haven't read Nisekoi, read this chapter. You'll be convinced. Granted, some of the chapters aren't as good as this one. I mean, this is basically the best the series has to offer right now. But if you love this, you'll like everything else.
This was the best Onodera chapter ever, personally.
It was. I mean, it didn't really even focus on her, but I mean, it really did do a great job with her. And trying to turn pages on the app, but it's not working properly.
I see. What was pretty neat was that we got to see how the mother looked, and she looks just, and we can see where the daughter get where the daughter's getting her looks from, and we kind of see where Haru gets her personality from.
Yeah, she's
how much.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, this is an absolutely phenomenal chapter, and I would like it if the app, iPhone app, actually let me turn the pages. There we go.
Oh, I'm reading my laptop. So
yeah, well, it's I don't know. It stopped working properly today. Weird, but oh yeah, and then of course the last page where like, oh, we work together. We'd run a good cake shop together.
You know,
you do realize what you're saying, right? And of course another great phase from Onodera, and it's yeah, I loved it. This chapter was just
like, Rocky, if you haven't gotten the idea, you are stupid. Yeah. stupid ninny.
Yeah, better word, pretty much. Yeah, he's a ninny. That's an excellent word.
But the mother's like, no, I will not take anymore.
Yeah.
She's like, I will not try it.
It's like, I will not try it, Sam. I am. Wait, no, wrong book. Anyway, this was a great chapter. I mean, honestly, this was the highlight. And this was kind of like, you know, where we peaked. After this, things go a little bit lower. I mean, not terrible, but lower. You know?
Yeah.
There's Bleach chapter 559. Doesn't really have anything
that
stands out. You know? Yeah, that's the chapter. But, you know, it doesn't really have anything that really stands out.
Actually, there is
just a lot of random scenes. It feels like there's a lot of content, which is good.
Yeah.
But nothing really interesting.
I did like the part where we're basically where the Ikaku and Yumichika were, like, trying to figure it out. Ikaku, Yumichika, and Hisari were like, okay, so what do we do now? And then they don't realize, and all of a sudden that one reached the door. So we were like, oh, my God.
Just randomly, he's falling on them. You're like, oh my gosh.
I don't know why, but scenes like that make me laugh. It's like, I'm gonna get you. Oh crap, body slam.
Yeah.
Surprise, body slam.
It was, I guess it was amusing enough, but.
Oh yeah, then there's the part where they try and kill their, you know, ones who fail if you kill them. I'm like, whatever.
And then he's like, uses weight and cuts them anyway, and I'm like, okay, whatever. No, I don't care about it. I thought these guys were dead anyway. I don't care about
them.
Although we don't know what happened to Bambietta or whatever her name was. So we'll have to wait to find out what happens there. But, yeah, so overall, I mean, this was an okay chapter. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was an okay chapter.
Yeah.
Overall, nothing really stood out. I mean, Rukia and Renji arrived, but I mean, it's... We just found out that they were on their way, last week, so...
Yeah, they're like...
It's not like I was really dying for this moment. I mean, granted, it's nice that he didn't stretch it out, but maybe a little stretched out wouldn't have been a terrible thing. But, oh well.
And Ichigo's still going down the stairs.
Well, we don't even see him this chapter.
Dragon stairs. Oops, sorry.
The dragon stairs, it's exactly like Goku, except downwards. All right, speaking of which, Bleach, Dragon Ball Z. Yes, it is. Well, it's been doing that for a while. But anyway, Bleach, Dragon Ball Z, Chapter 42, Least Resistance. Mo, as the Dragon Ball Z rookie, this is yours. Go for it.
It was all right, personally. I mean, you know, Vegeta was like, okay, you know, my tail still trying to kill you all. I'm like, yeah, okay. And then I'm like, okay, basically, he tries to kill Gohan, and he tries to kill Goku. And I'm like, why don't you kill the guy who cut your tail off? He's right there.
Yeah.
Just kill him.
Well, he's probably thinking, oh, he's so weak. What else can he do? But,
yeah. You underestimate the weak. And they're going to get
him. Well, clearly, but he's still doing it. It's kind of silly.
It's silly. And then Goku's like, oh, what did you try to go on? Oh, you have to kill him to beat Vegeta. And then all of a sudden, the clone, after he finds out, like, oh, why didn't you just tell him to run away? Well, I could, but there'd be no point to that or something. And then he'll be like, here, take my Genki Dama and finish him off. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
It was an okay chapter.
Yeah. I mean, nothing...
Nothing funny or cool about it, really. Yeah. Just, nothing, you know...
particularly phenomenal, but...
It's just following up after what Yajirobe did.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, it was kind of.
He's like, oh crap, he's gonna get it. It's like, after I get rid of those three, I'll get the one who cut my drone. I'm like, why don't you get him in the first place, you moron?
Yeah, probably would have been the smart thing to do, but he's not doing it, so. Oh well, silly him.
So-called prince, whatever.
Watashi no prinsu, or something like that.
Yes, he's. We're gonna know about Vegeta later on. I know a bit about him later, but not much.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, he's not necessarily being very smart here, but he's the villain. We have to defeat him somehow. So, yeah, and let us see.
That's it for the Weekly Shonen Digital chapter. Now we move on to the ones that are not in it, but that we still read.
Yes, Beelzebub chapter 230.
But
So,
no worries.
yeah, we find out that Beel is not actually his name, but according to his mother, at first she doesn't recognize him, but then she's like, oh, that's your nickname for him. Oh, that's cool. But turns out that it's Beelze, I guess is his full name, or the name that she gave him, which, she's the mom.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we find out a little bit more about what's going on. She
He's
basically.
actually Bell is actually confirmed to be 2 years old, but still can't talk. Now, here's
Yeah,
the
I
thing about
guess.
that.
Yeah.
My little sister, when she was 2 years old, she still couldn't talk properly. She couldn't even she couldn't she didn't really talk much. I was like worried, like, is she talking like this? I'm like,
I
no,
kind of
she's
remember
such
when
an
I started talking.
I know I started talking off like I don't know why I started talking, but I know I started having like my whatever at 3 years old, I think.
yeah, we start. Yeah, well, whenever we did start talking, I'm sure that there was a sh there was this collective shudder felt by manga fans. We're like, oh gosh, this is a terrible premonition of something awful to come.
Oh yes, I'm
These
doing
two
it.
guys, they have opened their mouths. Shut them up now. Sorry, you can't stop
You'll
us.
never shut me up.
Yes, we're on
Never.
the internet. You can't stop us. Well, I guess you could ignore us, which please don't ignore us. It's kind of like, it's in a way, we're kind of like the gods in Terry Pratchett's Discworld series, where
Oh, that
they
one.
still exist, but they only have as much power as they have worshippers. If they have no worshippers, they exist, but they are weakened, and the more people worship them, the more powerful they become.
So it's like if we say we don't believe in fairies, then the fairies, someone will die.
No.
Okay, it's not
No.
even.
No, not like that. More like nobody knows about them. And so, but kind of like, for example, if at one point the Greek gods were, powerful, but now nobody worships them anymore, so they would be not powerful. It's this
That's kind of
basic
like
idea
the.
of there are many gods, but their power depends on how many people are worshiping them, which you kind of find a lot as an explanation for multiple different gods for multiple different religions and how to have them make sense across these many different cultures and have them all be real rather than being a kind of a jerk about it and saying, no, only one religion is right. These other ones are just wrong. Which,
You, I demand
who
a
knows what,
sacrifice.
who knows how it is actually, but it's a theory that works for a fantasy book. That being said, the comparisons between podcasters and gods aside, I like this chapter overall. I mean, we learn a lot of backstory. You kind of see that she basically got angry at her husband and was like, get a job, you bum. And he's like, okay, I'm going to go destroy the world. And she's like, he's probably forgotten about it by now. But yeah. And yeah, so I don't know.
That guy, Johan.
Yeah, he's a jerk. But I love that, that really touching moment where Oga just punches his hand through the barrier, delivers the note from the demon overlord, and she's reading it and she's all touched. And she basically says, it's all just a bunch of gibberish, but the fact that he even wrote me a note means that he was thinking of me at the time. And I was like, way to ruin the moment, but okay. Yeah, I mean, I like this chapter, but at the same time, I'm not a huge fan of this current arc. I prefer the ones where all the other characters are there. I don't like this whole, hey, none of the other characters that you like are gonna be here. It feels a little Bleach at the moment,
Oh God,
where
don't
we
remind me
ignore
of
the
Bleach.
side characters that we like in
Oh,
favor of
speaking of
focusing on just,
Bleach.
yeah.
Okay, so it turns out Johan was apparently behind most of everything of,
Oh yeah.
whatever. And I'm
Yeah,
like,
stuff
oh
like that.
God, I didn't.
It doesn't quite carry as much weight as when Aizen did it, which is kind of weird, because when Aizen did it, it was stupid.
But,
yeah. Well, overall, I'm hoping this story resolves itself pretty... Well, yeah. But I'm just kind of hoping this story resolves itself pretty quickly, because I'm getting, you know, tired of it. And I'd like to get back to, you know, other stuff.
Yeah. But,
all right, then. Assassination Classroom, Chapter 67, Weapon Time. Indeed. Yes, this... Let's see, this one... What can we say?
Okay, so... Yeah, I mean,
it had its moments, sort of showing them, hey, here's how we take these guys out, even though we're kids and they're adults, you know? Where they basically just, you know... Dogpile these guys after trapping them.
Basically, Terasaka and his buddies finally get to, you know, spotlight, get their spotlight again. And I'm like, something that's okay, it's nice. And they, oh, look, real guns. And then those two students who were close to trying to snipe from Kuro Sensei, are like, oh, like, we're going to use these, but we couldn't get them with the actual air guns. Like, come on now.
Mm. Yeah, I definitely, it's.
Oh yeah, and then,
I did like that they dealt with the guns with a certain gravity. You know, like it wasn't like, oh, we're used to this because of the fake guns we use. It's not like, no, these are actual guns.
Yeah,
this is a big deal.
Also, when they got the actual guns, and for example, like, okay, you can use it, but no killing.
Yeah,
no killing.
You're putting a lot of faith in their abilities there. But yeah, and then turns out they face the dude with a gun, so we're slowly making our way up the line, which
so basically,
well, actually not that slowly. It's moving at a nice pace. I like the pace.
Basically, the last two guys were called Smog and Cliff. This guy is, I guess I'm going to call him Gun because he's practically his gun, unless Eden's gun face or something.
What else are we going to call him, honestly?
Sucking Gun.
BG? No, that doesn't make any sense. Ignore that. That pun didn't make any sense.
No.
So, yeah, we'll kind of see. It will be interesting to see how... I mean, they've faced a variety of different threats here, like, you know, poisons, you know, physical violence. And now they're facing one of the very real threats, namely an actual gun. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle this. So far, I'm hopeful for this, that it's not just going to be let's rush him and take him out like some other manga artists might try. The fact that he's actually treating the guns, the acquisition of those guns, with real weight, and also showing that, oh, hey, they're not used to shooting real guns, so they're at a disadvantage, it really does go to show, you know, just like, okay, this is going to be a serious threat. How are they going to get out of this?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that we can trust him enough to do it in a way that isn't stupid.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't underplay the actual very real serious danger of guns, which, you know. The dude sucking on the gun makes me think, no, he's going to go over the top with this, but oh well.
That's why I'm calling him Sucking Gun, because
like sitting duck. Okay, then. It's time for Fairy Tail, Chapter 362. Basically, this can be summed up really easy. Natsu beats up on Jackal. Jackal turns into a were-jackal, basically.
George.
And then it turns out his body's a bomb. Oh, noes. Happy flies the bomb into the sky. Oh, noes. Happy is dead. Oh, wait, no, Happy's alive.
He's on Apple.
For the most part, this chapter was okay, but that last bit kind of pissed me off.
I know.
Not because it's like, oh, I mean, okay, let's be fair. If an author does something that Eiichiro Oda does, and we don't mind it when Oda does, well, actually, we do mind it a lot. But at the same time, it's sort of like, okay, you know what? Oda did it, and it's not stopping us from reading his stuff. But at the same time, since this is very much a copy of Pell in the Alabasta arc, taking the bomb above the city and exploding, and it apparently dying, but then it turns out later that he's still alive. There, at least it went several chapters. With this one, it's just right at the very end. I mean, the first line is Sharla getting sad and tearing up, but then turns out Happy is still alive, and oh, he just got an afro from the explosion. And they're like, how did he survive that? That would have leveled an entire city. I mean, did he let it go at the right time, or what's the deal? It's it's just such an odd moment because you're just like he wanted to get rid. It's like he's not letting it run its course. You know, it's like Mashima's just trying to get through that. Like he's like, oh, well, this guy's obviously going to be a bomb. We'll have a little bit of a threat, then we'll get rid of them. Oh, but I don't want to milk Happy possibly being dead or them thinking that Happy is dead. I mean, this could have gone on for a while. This could have been a very real driving force, this whole sense of this is how serious things have gotten. Happy is dead. Even if he isn't actually dead, later on we reveal, oh, he's still alive. As long as it would have been at least milked a little bit rather than just completely discarded. That's what pisses me off, that there was potential here. If they had have just gone, when, you know, you see Happy carrying the jackal into the sky and you're thinking, whoa, is this going where we think it is? And then it doesn't. It just ignores any possibility that that scene could have had, that any sense of, you know, we know he wouldn't have killed him off. I mean, if he had have actually killed him off, that would have taken some balls. But at the same time, pretending like he was dead for longer than half a page would have been a good idea, you know, just through the arc. Oh, hey, Happy has been dead. Oh, no, this is real serious now, you know? Well, as opposed to, yeah. I mean, well, it could have given some real driving force. You know, the character's like, oh, Happy is dead. We are angry at these people. We will defeat them for our poor dead friend. But instead, it's a joke. It turns into just a gag at the end with, oh, Happy has an afro now. Which, I don't get it. It's, ugh.
I don't get it. He's not even a friggin' dragon. What the heck?
I know. Like, I mean, we find out that Natsu is basically eating the explosions, but, ugh.
Also, not that it matters, but the part where Natsu is saying, oh, it doesn't matter what we take on gods, demons, or bad guys, whatever, we'll beat the crap. I'm like, oh, mention gods. Like,
well, yeah, I think that, by now, I mean, yeah, he mentions gods, but that's in the context of there are god slayers. You know?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, we've got demon slayers, god slayers, and whatnot. And so,
yeah. Devil.
Yeah, well. Yeah, I think this chapter was okay, but it had a very disappointing end. It's just, there was some opportunity here. But, I mean, it just goes to show Mashima is playing it safe as usual. He's not letting things get too serious, which is a big shame, but at the same time, we kind of feel like we can't really complain about it that much because we know that's what this series is like. Though I do wish it would take things in a more serious direction. But
I know, you're using demons. Like,
it feels very lackluster. But all right. Let's talk about Seven Deadly Sins, Chapter 57, The Scene of a Far-Off Day.
I almost thought that Liz and Elizabeth were like, oh, okay, then her queen of Tsuchiki case, you know, One Piece is sort appearing of everywhere I see now for some reason. I don't know why. But it wasn't, because it turns out Liz is not like, she looks similar, but it's not, does not look exactly like her. So.
Yeah, it is a bit of that kind of, oh, yeah, I can see she looks, I mean, she's got a similar face, but, you know, the hair is completely different. And
funny
whatnot.
Thing was that Kane said, oh, this is mine. She'd be about your age. And I was like, what the?
She looks her age in the flashback. What is this? It was weird. But, yeah, and so we find out why Meliodas doesn't use swords because, you know, he's like, he's too strong. If he uses a sword, nobody will survive. But, yeah, we have a nice, I kind of like the design on the sword. It was Liz's sword that she was going to give to Meliodas, and Kane has been hanging on to. It's got a very nice sort of Romanesque design to it. I quite like it. I mean, it's a bit shorter and more pointed than I think a Roman gladius would have been per se.
Gladius.
I mean, yeah, it. Gladius, but I still like the design. It's quite a nice little sword. And and there was a great scene where we find out that even after Ban kills the guy, we find out that the Holy Knight monster was actually the father of
One of the Holy Knights that killed Monica.
I forget what her name is, but the one that had like the flashback where
Guida,
the scene with her little brother that she's taking care of.
Yeah, it's Guida.
Oh, okay, right, yeah. And so
basically,
that was a nice tie-in there.
thanks to the Scam Nations, I kept thinking Gira. But then when I read it, oh, it's Gira. Scam Nations.
Isn't it nice? Yeah, isn't it nice to have proper translations?
Oh, yes, so nice. Thank goodness. Yeah. Don't want to read people. I mean, sometimes Scam Nations are nice, but sometimes they end up being really horrible. And then you can't even change it unless you go to the actual site. But then the Scam Nations can be actual jerks. Maybe. I mean, some of them, not all of them are jerks, but they can be like, oh, people who don't like our work. Like, dude, I don't know who you are.
Honestly, I think most Scanlator and fan subgroups are filled with shitheads.
Because
I don't know what it was, but when Fairy Tail was first coming out, I think it was the group Horrible Subs that were doing Fairy Tail.
Horrible.
They may had the worst subs ever. They would go and explain what is happening in the episode. They would fill the page, the screen, I mean, with notes, to the point where you could not see what was happening because these jackasses thought they had to explain shit. And it's just like, why are you explaining things? You don't need to explain things. Let the damn show do its job. Don't. There's a reason I don't like Scanlations anymore. They're kind of awful. They stopped doing that, but just early on I was like, this is a joke. Are you people retarded or something?
I mean, Scanlations, it makes sense, because, you know, there's all these little space you put in, but...
Oh, yeah, but if you fill up the anime, darn screen...
Anime is like, you're trying to watch it. It's like, okay, sorry, moving on. We're just manga podcast.
Yeah, manga podcast. So...
So, yeah, waiting for the chapter.
Overall, I liked it. I mean, it had some good character moments, some good reveals, a good sort of backstory and everything. And overall, it was,
it was kind of interesting how we find out the reason why Mili doesn't carry. So, like you said, he's too strong to use it. So, it kind of makes sense why he's carrying a broken sword.
It's more like just a courtesy where it's like, I got a sword, cool. I really like this chapter. I mean, it had a lot going for it. It's just a lot of character tension, a lot of just a little bit of everything that we like. So overall, I liked it, and it looks like things aren't quite over yet.
He looks about the same age in the flashback.
I think that'll probably be revealed, where it turns out he's probably not actually human. But So I think that's that chapter. Yeah, that's the chapter. Oh, also, I should note, I should probably apologize for saying retarded. That was a bit ableist of me.
A what?
Not kosher. Using the word retarded as an insult is not a good... It's kind of awful.
I know it's awful. I shouldn't have done it. But when I get really upset at someone, I use that to make them upset, because at the same time...
Don't drink any graves, Mo. When I'm apologizing for something, like I said, I should have used a different word. And I figure, I should probably just cut off, I should probably just head off any complaints of the past there just by saying, yes, that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I should have used a different word. So anyway, I think that about wraps us up for the commentary on the chapters, don't you think?
Yeah.
And that's we did it in about 45 minutes. Oh my gosh.
50 minutes.
Well
45 minutes.
I think there was some prep time and all that. But
yeah,
actually, let me check the actual recording length. Well, 47 minutes. So fair enough. But yeah, I think overall, this was a pretty good week. Had some excellent chapters. Excellent. And so I say let's go ahead and wrap things up for this week, shall we?
Yeah.
Yep. See you all there. This has been Manga Cubed, episode 75 for the week of December 2nd, 2013. As this week we discussed the second omnibus of Evangelion containing volumes 4 through 6 of the manga series. We also discussed the weekly chapters as usual and had a little bit of time to, talk a little bit Shueisha, talk a little bit Kodansha, just sort of decide what's what. Which ones we like best and all that. Actually, we haven't done that yet. That's what we're doing right now. Or we'll be doing it right after we talk about the author comments a little bit, shall we?
Because it's always fun to see what the actual creators are doing.
Indeed. Speaking of which, World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara says, could it be true? A collabo with Monchiage Fried Rice Crackers, Volume 3 on Japan, December 4th. Check the official Twitter for more info. What?
I don't... Collabo? I think he's trying to say collaboration, but they can fit in.
That's weird. What else do we have?
Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto. I went out drinking with a bunch of my editors, current and past. I laughed so hard my stomach seriously hurt. Well, yeah, that does. That does happen. Not too hard.
That does indeed. And now, Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro. Toriko Ultimate Survival is out for the Nintendo 3DS in Japan. I must beat it. Oh dear.
It's like, I must finish this game, and then he goes under the forum. So they, oh, I beat this game. Like, wait, what? How do I do this?
He's like, I don't know how to do. Yeah, none of this is making. This seems so much easier in my head.
Like, what? This is just, no, this is not how it works. Why are you making me do this?
Yeah.
That would be like, you must go and fetch this item. I don't want to fetch it.
That's not, well, actually, no, that's not fair. That is totally how we wrote the series. Plenty of fetch quests.
Oh, yeah, that is true, yeah.
So that is kind of funny. It's like, go fetch this item, only it's a massive fetch quest.
But you must fetch this from this thing and fetch it from this thing in this thing. Like, what?
Indeed.
Anyway, right. Next one.
Yes.
Nisekoi's Naoshikomi. Work is underway for the second Nisekoi novel. This one will once again feature something a little different than the manga. Check it out. I didn't know the second Nisekoi novel.
I didn't know there was the first one.
I guess it happened when it was still in the midst of being made. That's why, before it got published in here.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll have to see if there's any collected, if that volume.
Quite sure it's a light novel.
It's a light novel, but I'm wondering if that will ever be published over here. Probably not.
Probably not.
Right. Well, Bleach's Tite Kubo. I broke my mechanical pencil. Is there one I can use every day and won't break for like 5 years?
It is possible. I do have one. I mean, the clip-on is broken, but in general, it still works for me. I put a lot of lead in there because I know I'm not gonna go back and try and refill every time. So if I lose it, I'm like, no, my ammo, all my spare ammo in there too.
Ammo?
What? Sorry, lead pencil.
Okay, well, let's see. Let's do our rankings, shall we? Shall we? My number 4 is Bleach. Why Bleach? Because it was alright. I mean, this week had some phenomenal chapters, but there were 3 really good chapters. Everything else was kind of lackluster, shall we say? So, yeah. What's your number 4, Mo?
Serve of the End.
I kill you.
I'll kill you. You see, you try. Anyways, it still was not the best chapter in the series, but, you know, for Bleach was okay, but still not great. Dragon Ball was alright. The others were decent. Naruto was, you know, Naruto's usual. And, you know, just sort of the end was just, it was a little nice. It kind of, because with the whole end of like, oh, you know, Yoichi, he kind of failed, so you might have to kill him. I'm like, that's gonna hurt, but okay.
Well, I guess when it's a choice between the 3 best chapters and the rest, which are kind of duh.
Yeah.
Well, and okay, we're gonna be boring this list, but number 3 for this week is Mo.
What's my number 3?
Your number 3 is World Trigger, just like.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
I mean it was really good. There was a bit of some good character stuff, and I actually kind of liked it.
Yeah, it was good.
And it was also better than a lot of the other chapters, so.
Still not as bad. It's still not best that one chapter. What was that one chapter? That one chapter. It's recently. Not this one, but the other one.
Oh, I can't remember. I guess I kind of like the one where stuff happened.
I don't think it was the one where she was her name. She told, I don't know, the little girl who
she shoots the
Team Blast a whole. Like, yeah. How did this happen?
I did like that chapter. Yeah. Yep. And all right. Well, what's our number two?
Toriko
indeed. Why? Because
there was so much content on this. And Eric, it should have been number one. I don't know why it's not number one. Because
reasons.
It really went on into the whole, the theory of how Gourmet World used to be. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think like that. I was like, meteor.
Exactly.
See, I have this theory like, what would happen if we didn't have a moon? So if the moon's basically what used to be part of the Earth when it was forming, but something happened, it broke away and became the moon. So what if the moon was actually the entire place? And more of the sea would be covered, wouldn't it? Or maybe there wouldn't be a sea. There'd be just a bunch of lakes instead.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, I know it'd be a weird place, but that's kind of how I imagined the Torgo kind of went, like, except it was a meteor, not the moon.
Yeah, it's definitely, it just was really good, and it just got into what I was thinking was really relevant, and it was relevant.
Yeah, but, let's just hope that, the protagonist is actually still interesting.
Yeah, but it's time to talk about the real number one, that it's there for a reason, Nisekoi.
Because Best chapter in the series ever. I don't know. I can explain why. The mother's freaking hilarious.
Yes. It is. Yeah, it's very much. It was just friggin' hysterical, is what it was. I loved it. It made me laugh. I don't ask for any more. But this time it really made me laugh. And it was just a great comedy of errors. It's just contained in just a single short chapter with even a cute little moment at the end where Onodera says, oh, we work together as a team. We could run a candy shop together. And then Haru is just like, you do realize what you just said. And then she realizes, oh, yeah, we could. Is basically saying, oh, we could run a candy shop. Like a husband and wife pair, which
it was cute.
Yeah, it was like a Mon Pa's candy shop. It was cute. I enjoyed it, and I was kind of thinking, yeah, that's. I could see that as a future for the two of them, which would be nice. And
I'd like
just,
that.
Yeah, it just was a great chapter. I mean, what else can we say? And that takes care of our podcast for this week. We don't have any feedback, but do remember, those of you that are listening, look up Manga Weird Hat Sign 3, a manga podcast.
It's called a carrot.
That's what it's called?
A carrot? It's called a carrot. Yeah, it's called a carrot.
Okay.
I know.
Manga carrot, don't ask me, you just then did. The number 3. I am so sorry I made this difficult to look up, but look it up. It is now has the subtitle of a manga podcast to make sure that you know what you're looking at. And you can find that new feed on iTunes. It has all the episodes. So if you've missed old episodes and, like me, you don't like downloading them from elsewhere and putting them on your phone or computer and you just want to have them on iTunes, it's all there. You can listen. Leave comments, reviews. Give us rankings, because the more people listen and give us rankings, the better our podcast does, and the higher up on the list it is, and the more people listen to it. And that's really all we want, is for people to listen and enjoy our discussion of this great thing that is manga.
Because I'm like enjoying hearing two people talk about stuff.
Indeed, and bitch. We like to bitch.
Well, you can't say nice things all the time. It's really hard to say nice things, and when we do say nice things about the things we bitch about, it's really amazing how we actually say it.
Yeah, it does happen. It's not like we're like, Naruto is bad all the time, but, there are moments of, oh, hey, this was pretty awful, or this was okay, or whatnot. But, yeah, I like knowing if people are listening. So, if you have a special comment and want us to read it on air, send an email to burninglizardstudios@gmail.com or look Burning Lizard up on Twitter and send your questions there. Let's see. Anything else? I think that about does it. Yeah. As always, we will be back next week. And for now, just remember that the manga is always better.
Yes, and make sure your fire alarm does not set itself on fire.
Right. See you next week.